appreciate everyone that reached out during our absence.
This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.
See how I was quiet?
Okay.
See how I was quiet there?
I'm going, yeah, good job. I'm going off of YouTube.
Goodbye, YouTube.
And turning off the recording.
So it turned out that the process that I had told you before that was getting really complicated with the, the Zoom recording. Have you stopped the Zoom recording?
No, but I'll do that now.
Recording stopped.
So here's the fun part. We talked about before the whole process that I'd come up with to chop off this section of the recording and run it through transcription and then find these words in it and everything. Well, here's what happened. This is the lovely part of this is because we're using Zoom to do our transcriptions, when you put the transcription of our recording of our Zoom recording into the drive, Craig automatically puts the full recording into my Google Drive, but it labels it just like Zoom. They both label their files at the time that they started in UTC. So yeah. Now, if you think about it, I know when the full audio file, I know when it started. I know when the show started, like when the Zoom recording started, and the Zoom recording, I can go to the first line and the last line and tell you how long the show was, right? So I now can use math to go, okay, if the recording started at 6 p.m. and this Zoom call started at 6:30, then obviously the show starts at 6:30 and it's, 93 minutes long. So the after show starts at this point in the file. And then I split it out. So I split it out into three files. So it became a much easier problem than before. And I don't have to run anything through transcription because the Zoom transcription is the transcription. So the way I teach it how when the actual end of the show is, because it's not the end of the transcript, right? We bleed into the after show immediately after, right? So I told it, Adam will always end the show by saying, check out more great shows at pride48.com because it always comes through your audio, right? So I tell it the beginning of the show is when Daniel says Friday, and the end of the show is when Adam says check out more great shows at pride48.com. And that's how it knows. And then it takes those time codes of the transcript, does math, because it knows where it's at in the entirety of the recording. And then, so anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is that last after show that got posted was completely done by Sebastian. That was completely automated. It took the request. As soon as you put the transcript in the drive, it generated the summary and the topic list that I could choose from, the topic names that I could choose from. I mean, the show. What am I trying to say? The show titles. Anyway, it generates those, and it also then compares it up against the Craig recording and does the whole after show and uses FFmpeg to, and then it levelates it with FFmpeg, and then it actually packages it up, and it can post.
And all that's automatic?
All that's automatic.
Wow. So, and it's posted automatically as well?
I haven't had it do that yet. I did talk to it about that, or talk to him about it, and he's like, yeah, I can do that with WordPress.
By the way, Kathy in the chat room asked, how big of a sign can I print? And that's getting close to the largest, but it'll handle 13 by 16 and a half.
So will I.
now that's for flatbed sign printing. You can also put a roller in it and it will print stamps, and you can go as just about as long as you want. You'd still be limited by width, but
not length,
but you'd have width of like 13 inches. That is,
yeah. Who left? Who? Good luck in Plano said that. Oh, Lamont didn't leave. He's just going to Plano.
I used to live in Plano.
He's going to be on his road trip to Tejas next week with his Hermes bag. So he will not be in the room. Here's the thing. I have to decide whether there's a sex party on Friday night that I kind of want to go to. And so I just need to decide whether I want to do the show or whether I want to go to the sex party. Now, I do know that they're there all weekend. So I could also, there'll probably also be a sex party Saturday night. So it's like, I could just go Saturday night. But you know, it's Juneteenth. It's a holiday on Friday. So.
Oh, well, whatever you decide that you need to do, just let me know and I will accommodate. Because I'm accommodating.
All right. Anyway, I have a few things here that I want to talk. I try not to talk about work on the show just because people know that I do a podcast. So try not to talk about things, but I like to talk about things about work because it annoys me. And so that's why I like to do it here on the after show. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
We got an email that says your episode is blocked.
An email that says our episode is blocked. What episode?
From Spotify. It was episode 207, Sabbatical of Mixed Minus. The episode has been removed from Spotify in all locations due to recent changes in the music rights holder.
Yeah, that's because somewhere in that song, in that episode, we played Misty Mountains by Richard Armitage. This is the problem with copyright and crap. And then on episode 207, also, we did Concerning Hobbits by Howard Shore. It was probably some weird, and we could appeal. We could appeal and say that it was commentary and that it's allowed. But what is that? Episode 207? No one's listening to episode 207. That was years ago. We're up to episode.
Well, I'm wondering if I've never gotten one of those emails before. So I'm wondering if that's going to be a problem.
I get these emails all the time.
Oh.
I get the ones that say there's a copyrighted thing and we've detected a copyright and I have to go and say, yeah, we're allowed to use that.
Oh.
So for fair use, we are legally allowed to use clips for commentary. Like we just played that clip of that news show, right? We were making commentary on it. So we're allowed to use it. We're allowed those are the fair use laws that were put in place. Like you can't put out a movie and then not let people talk about the movie, right? You have to, like, if people can provide commentary and they can use copyrighted material to is part of their commentary. Anyway, I think once PBS actually like included an entire episode of a TV show on a Frontline episode, like an entire network television show, because they decided that the whole thing was commentary. I seem to recall that a long time ago. Anyway,
I'll be right back.
Uh-oh. Adam is being called away. Did you order food? Oh, he must have ordered food. It's going. He's walking away. Anyway, what was I trying to get to? Oh, I hadn't started telling the story yet.
I'm going to show you.
Oh.
The second one that I made.
Oh.
This one is for Arkansas.
The Razorbacks. Woo Pig Suey. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Woo Pig Suey. You got Big why is Big Ben in Arkansas?
That's one of the buildings on university.
It looks like there's a big fireplace on the left and Big
That's
Ben.
That's the stadium.
Big Ben on the right. And then, what is that? The that bridge in every movie that a train goes over and it explodes? That's that bridge.
That's a bridge. That really is a bridge in Fayetteville.
Nice.
I'll take a photo to send to the chat room. Oh.
So let me go ahead about my my. Can I tell my story? Is that all right?
You can.
Why are you so quiet?
So I'm taking a picture of.
Oh, you're taking a picture of it. I'll just wait. I'll just wait.
You can tell your story.
So in the world of AI tooling and using AI models, I'm sure that you've run across the concept of usage, right? Like you get X amount of usage for your $20 a month. And if you exceed that,
yes,
it throttles you back or it moves you to a dumber model or it says, I'm sorry, you can't do this anymore today. You have to wait until whenever. And so to avoid that in corporations where you have developers that are using these tools, you go on what's called API pricing, right? So it's you're just paying per token. So you're paying a certain amount per 1 million input tokens and a certain much lower amount for per 1 million cached tokens. And then you're paying quite a lot per 1 million output tokens. But when it comes right down to it, you're paying for the inference that you're using. And so at work, you can set a cap, right? You can set, there's a cap that is set for the account or for the group or whatever that, you know, if you exceed that count, it'll basically shut you off. So at work where we use Codex, we got shut down. Like we ran out of tokens. Yeah. And this led to a whole panic across the company. And so the admin had to bump up the usage amounts so that we could continue to work. And then, you know, 6 hours later, we were out of tokens again. So, but I raised it by, you know, 1,000 token or 1,000 credits or whatever. And it became this whole thing where they're basically, you know, they don't know what's going on and they don't understand how people are using the stuff. It's just bad management. It really honestly is what it is. It's just bad management. The people who installed this tool essentially just handed it to, you know, 500 devs and said, here you go. Right. That was it. That was the training. That was the advice. Yeah. That was the guidance that they were given is here you go. Have fun.
Is there no way to limit it per developer so that they have their own caps?
Probably. I don't have access to the admin pieces, but as we get deeper into the story, you'll find that probably it's probably a very simple solution. However, it didn't stop the panic at work or whatever. And I happen to be in a position where I had written the program that pulls the usage metrics for our various different AI stuff. I wrote a program that pulls the usage metrics from the API and then puts it into a flattened format for our business reporting system. And then they make up a whole bunch of, you know, reports showing how we use it and stuff like that. So I happen to have the raw usage data. And so I went and looked in the data and to see why we were running out of tokens and what was going on. And of course I saw what you would expect, which are people just shoving in, you know, millions of tokens of input where they're like, they're shoving so much context into it that it's, you know, it's like, let's just put the entire code base in context, right? Like all kind of crazy usages like that. But what immediately jumped out at me was that every single person was using fast mode. Now, fast mode is provided by Anthropic, where it will give you your results 1.5 times faster, but you're going to pay 2.5 times more tokens for it than to get that boost of speed. So it's just a simple, 2.5x token usage. So I'm looking at this and I realize that I never set that. I never set fast on my stuff. Like I didn't, you know, I'd heard about it before, but I never set it. I never thought that it needed, you know, and I asked other people that had codecs and, you know, did you set the, you know, can you tell me what it set to? He's like, oh yeah, it set the fast. He's like, do you remember setting that? No, I don't. And so I'm like, all right, so these morons basically set the default too fast. So they set the default to, hey, everyone, let's burn 2.5 times more tokens than we would normally by, you know, by setting this stupid default. So I ping my boss and I'm like, hey, I found stuff in the data here that, you know, I should probably tell somebody because I know why we're running out of tokens. And it's like, I'm not sure who to talk to though. And so he like immediately threw me into this chat in Teams that was going on about the issue. And in this chat were pretty much the entire C-suite. So the CFO, the CTO, the head of IT, the head of engineering, the, you know, all of these people, different, you know, head of legal, all these people that are in there, like, trying to figure out what's going on, why we're burning through tokens so fast and everything. And so I thought initially that I would, you know, so I'm like, you know what, fuck it. I'm just going to say it. So it's like, so I said, hey, by the way, I'm looking at the raw usage data. This is why is like, this is a global setting. We need to turn that off. It's like, that is why we're burning through so many tokens. And then it's like, oh, well, that's, you know, that's great. How do we do that? And I'm just like, not an admin. It's like, I would imagine there's a setting in the admin in the admin panel to turn it off. So then the person that administers the account is in this chat and he doesn't know what to do and whatever. And so I said, look, I know who has it turned on, right? It's like, and I can just send an email out to them with asking them to turn it off and to give them instructions on how to turn it off. And then, you know, I'll just check every day. And if people still have it turned on, then I'll send them, you know, other emails or whatever. And, you know, eventually, you know, the majority of them will happen today, but if the managers start circulating it out and everything, we should be able to squash it in, you know, a couple of days, whatever. So I did that. So I sent out email and, you know, got people and people were arguing with me like, I don't have it enabled, you know, and stuff. And, anyway, sent out the email and everything. And I'm sitting there going like, why am I the only person that knows the answer to this? It's like, these are all people that make so much more money than me. And like some of them are directly responsible for this. And it's like, Why am I a dude that's about to retire? I'm just like, you know, that you've bounced around through 3 different departments over the last 6 months. He's like, why am I the one that knows the answer to this? It's like, that makes me feel like they're not the brightest, but you know what I'm saying? It's just like,
yeah.
So cut to a few days later, where again, credits were, you know, and by the way, they also, then they started this whole conversation about what the limit should be. And so the guy in charge of it goes, well, I think we should allocate 200 credits per week to devs. And then, you know, 300 credits per week to, managers or whatever. And then just for regular non-devs, like 150 credits a week. Like, and I'm sitting there looking, again, I have the raw usage data and I'm like, so I sort it by the average credits that we use, and then, you know, look and see what our average credit usage is. And, you know, it's like our average credit usage is like 200 and something a day. Per debt, you know, per person, right?
Yeah.
So way over your 200 a week limit, right? So even with fast mode, if we take fast mode off and we reduce that down, you're still going to burn through 200 tokens in a week. If that's your limit, we're going to burn through those really fast, right? It's like that will be in a day and a half or so at our current usage. If you take the average, the dev teams that are really using the tool are going to burn through this way faster, right? It's like, on the one hand, they want to reduce headcount, but on the other hand, they flinch when the bills are high on the tools that are going to let them reduce their headcount. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I should point out, credits, much like Vegas, credits are not dollars. At our negotiated contract, a credit is 7 cents, right? So when I say, you know, that we're using 200 credits a day, that's not $200 a day. That's like 20 something dollars a day or something. It's 7 cents per credit, whatever that math works out to be. But I'm sitting there thinking, it's like, so yeah, if a dev is spending, let's say a dev is spending $2,000 a month in tokens to replace four devs. Well, okay, so it's going to cost you, $2,000. It's going to cost you $2,000 a month, right, in token usage.
Yeah.
So $24,000 a year. But you're saving three devs. You're like, three devs are way more than $24,000. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you cannot possibly in your head think that you're going to reduce headcount in your company on a $20 a month AI plan, right? It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
so that's their actual goal, is to fire people?
Well, that's everyone's goal, is to reduce headcount, right? And that's not even an AI thing. That's just like, you know, get more efficient. You can have fewer people do the job. The number one expense to any company is payroll.
Yeah, but a lot of the companies are saying, no, we're not reducing.
Yeah, but that's ridiculous. If you know AI, you're bloated,
people
to... when we compare our company to other companies of our size, or, you know, that we have more employees than they do. Like, you got to remember, we were three different companies that were brought together and stuff. So we have a lot of dead weight. It's like we have a lot of extra people that we, you know, it's not that they're not doing things. It's just they're not doing a lot. And it really just has to do with these complicated processes. So it's like, they're doing horrible work because it's boring that they're having to just do these, you know, take the patient call and then spend 5 minutes documenting the patient call and stuff like that. So it's, yeah, the ultimate goal is to reduce headcount, but you can't expect that that's free, right? Anyway, it just shocks me of how little they understand, like, the costs of things. It's like, what did you think this was? You know, like, when you went out there and told us that we should use this as our, did you not know what it was going to cost? Did you not think of that? you know, there are a lot of startups out there that don't go with an API enterprise plan, right? They go with, they'll buy each dev a $200 a month max plan, and maybe they'll buy that dev four of them. Like, so that it's like, and they'll just rotate through their $200 a month max plans, because those $200 a month plans, if you were to pay for that same token usage on API, would be, you know, $8,000 or $9,000. Like, they're heavily subsidizing these prepaid plans. Like, you get way more token usage out of a $20 a month plan than you could buy with $20 of API. So, you know, if you can use, you know, one of those plans, they're heavily subsidized, and it makes more sense, right? It would make more sense for us to give our devs the max plan for $200 a month fixed cost, and then just cover their API overages. But that, at least, that's a huge chunk of what they're burning, right? I just don't have a lot of faith that these people know what they're doing. And I kind of don't know, like, I don't know what to do. You know what I mean?
No, I mean,
well, it's like,
how does it affect you?
It affects me because they're stupid. And they're actively, at this point, they're actively interfering with development, right? It's like, on the one hand, you're pressuring us to get things done really quickly. And then on the other hand, you're like cutting us off. And even though you've been told the answer so many times that it's ridiculous, right? The answer is to train the devs how to use these tools better, because the devs don't know that it costs, they don't know that they're doing things that are costing us money. They don't know that because no one told them that. It's like no dev is out there actively trying to sabotage you. It's like they're just trying to get their job done, right? And they're doing it in some bad patterns. And
I'm sure they're being told, you need to be using AI,
yes,
all the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes, absolutely.
So they're just doing what they're being told.
Right. And now these people are, get their, wait, we have to pay for this? It just felt so, like I had this, when I worked for this company a long time ago, and I was writing software for capitation stuff, for insurance stuff. I was at a users conference in Las Vegas where the vice president of the company was explaining the new version of my software, because it was a users conference, so we're rolling out the next versions of our software. And he was explaining my capitation validation software to the entirety of our user base that paid to be there in Las Vegas. And I'm sitting there in the audience, and as he's talking about it, I'm like, he doesn't even know what it does. Like he's lost. He doesn't even know what the program does, right? Like there are clients looking at me in the audience, like, like beta testers and stuff that know that I'm the guy that wrote it. And they're like looking at me and I'm like going, nope, I'm sorry. I have no idea what the fuck he's saying. It's like, nope, that's not true. What he just said, no. That was the time, that was when I quit. That, I was like, why am I working for people that are, that don't even know what I do? It's like,
I guess it depends. I guess it depends on, if you're just doing it for the paycheck, then you're doing it for the paycheck. If you want it to be something that, if it's making it unenjoyable to you and you want it to be something that you enjoy, then you have to consider, okay, am I going to look for something else that I will enjoy more?
Oh, yeah. No.
If that makes sense.
No, I know.
Or, if it's making it less enjoyable, then fine. If it's like, well, I just need the paycheck until I retire and they're giving me a paycheck, then just keep doing what you're doing.
I guess
it depends on what's important to you.
I can't really retire till I'm 62. I'm not 62.
Correct.
I have some more years. I'm just annoyed with the, they hit some other problem, and one of the guy that's in charge of the ChatGPT thing said to me, it's like, I found this page and I don't, about turning off this feature and I'm not sure how to implement it. And he's like, can you look at this page? And so he sent me the documentation link or whatever. And then I'm like, I can't. He's like, well, I made you an admin, so you've just relog in and you should be able to see it. So yeah. So I was an admin. I went in. It was literally like codecs, policies and configuration. And then there was an override. It was called requirements.toml. It was like, it was basically the global, it's evaluated last, and whatever you have in it is globally set and the users can't change
it. Yeah.
So it's like literally all I did was in that text box, just type features fast mode equals false and saved it. And it disabled it in company wide. No one could even find it. It was 3 seconds. It was so fucking obvious what to do. And I was just so fucking annoyed. I was just like, it's like this, you could have solved. So on day one, you could have solved this problem just by going to this admin screen and typing that in. That
yeah.
And it's like, it's not, oh, well, I wouldn't have known to type that or anything. Literally, the instructions that I was sending out for people to disable it had them going and modifying their configuration file and typing features, fast mode equals all, you know, false. It's just like, would you not think that that was said? Oh, no, it's not. You know, OpenAI didn't configure this with fast mode being the default, Lamont Cranston. That was our IT department that didn't, like, new features rolled out and they didn't even take a look at them and set a reasonable default. So, because it was on nobody's radar, because nobody, they wouldn't even know what fast mode. Yeah, we want to go fast, right? It's just like, it was just so annoying. And the people that are involved in my company are all trying to carve their own little fiefdom, right, in this new world order as things move to AI. It's like, I argued with legal today because I need to work with data that may very possibly have PHI and PII in it. And so we, you know, as a HIPAA compliant place, we can't use OpenAI to, when we embed our LLMs, if there's a chance that PHI or PII is going to it. So the solution is to either run it through local models, which are dog shit, or you can do something like Amazon Bedrock, where you have a tenant, right? So then the extension of your tenant there is covered under the BAA with Amazon, so that it is HIPAA compliant because it doesn't go to the internet. It stays within your client, so it isn't shared with Amazon or their other clients. And we have that. And Amazon Bedrock is their API solution, which, you know, can be any model. It's just, you know, it's the same plug and play kind of a thing that you can do to embed LLMs. So I was like, oh, well, we need to get that set up. Like, we have an Amazon account. We just need, they need to set us up an endpoint that we can use for our embeds. And I can't finish this project until I have that, because, you know, I can do everything else in this project that doesn't involve PHI, but when I get there, you know, that's a HIPAA violation, that's a fine, I'm not going to go there. Right? So it's like, we just need to get there. It's an easy thing to do. Literally, you're just going in Amazon and setting it up, right? It's in the AWS console thing and setting it up. But then it turned out, no, we have to go through an approval process with legal and the AI Steer Co., which is made up of a bunch of older people that are not technical, and they're the Steer Co. because they're executives, not because they actually know anything about AI. So, you know, they have great policies. So anyway, I'm talking to this lawyer today, trying to get this stuff approved. And she's like, well, like, what kind of PHI would there be? And I'm like, well, these are patient phone calls, right? Like, they're calling in to either pay their bill or to dispute a bill or to ask a question about, but they're not calling in for medical advice and everything. I'm like, no, but they're giving us their birth date and social security number as verification. And that is that's PII. And she's like, I don't know that birth date and social really climbs to the level of PHI. I'm like, no, but it's PII. It's all covered under our HIPAA. It was like, why am I telling you? It's like, why am I telling the lawyer that as far as HIPAA is concerned, PHI and PII are the same fucking thing? It's like, we can't do either. I was just such. And then finally she's like, well, I guess, you know, yeah, this should be fine. And it's just, you know, you're listing it as a blocker, and then that gets all kind of pressure saying that legal's not looking at it, and they're the holdup. And I was like, so you want me to do what? just not put it as a blocker? Just
do it. They approve.
The problem is that you look bad. It's like, I'm going to move one of these over because it's evergreen. I think I might have already talked about that.
Why we keep putting things in the wrong box?
Yeah, I don't know if I talked about this or not. Did I tell you about my recap, my critical role notebook LM?
you said that you had set something up to do a recap for you. And that you could use it to ask questions and stuff like that.
Yeah,
we
yeah,
talked
yeah.
about that.
Yeah, off the YouTube videos.
And yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, no. So, as life moved along, the YouTube videos, the transcripts weren't as great as they could have been. And so, it would get little things wrong. And so, I wanted to be more concise in it. And I know that what Critical Role does is that they recap every episode. So they're every week they're, you know, a writer recaps the episode, saying, you know, and that's important because it spells the character names correctly. It, you know, the locations correctly. And it talks about any important things that you would want. And so I was like, oh, well, that would be very helpful to add these in. So I went to the, you know, it's on their website. I went to the Critical Role website and you have to scroll back through and find the ones for, you know, campaign 4. And I would look at them and it was a web page and it had a bunch of cruft around it, but it had the, you know, the recap was in the middle with like a header and some stuff. And so, I was basically like copying the recap piece and then pasting it in, you know, a Google Doc and then, you know, cause it would keep the formatting and then, you know, basically, save it out as a markdown or export it out as markdown. And then I figured I would just give all those markdowns to Notebook Ella. But there's like 20 at that point, there was like 26 episodes. And so I'm like, yeah, oh, this is tedious. And so I looked over at my assistant and I was like, hey, can you go to this website? It's paged. So you need to scroll through it, but find all the campaign 4 recaps. And then I just want the recap portion pulled out and put into a markdown file. And then just put that markdown file in this directory and call it, you know, just name it the episode. And then, oh, also you need the episode title and when it aired and that's stored, you know, that's in the header of the page and stuff like that. And he was like, hey, chief, no problem. So he like went out and figured all that shit out, went and grabbed it, figured out how to operate the paging and everything. And it tried, you know, it got it wrong once and then it tried something else and got it right and everything. And then finally it was just like, you know, there you go, all 27 files in the directory. And I went over and I looked, you know, and they were, there they were, all 27 files. They were great. And then Sebastian was like, hey, I noticed that all of these recaps are dated on Wednesdays, the week after it aired. Do you want me to set up a recurring task to check the website every like Thursday morning and automatically grab the recap? And I was just like, that would be lovely. Why? Thank you. And so, so now for the last couple of weeks, that's what it does. It automatically grabs the recaps, makes a markdown file, puts it in the thing and puts it in my Notebook LM. And I'm like, that's awesome. That's like, so here's the thing, but this is what the box thing has to do about, right? Is I'm thinking is like, that's really cool that it can do that. But then I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, but wait a second. This is the same LLM, the same tools that I use in Codex at work, you know, yeah. that I use to write code and everything. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, isn't it weird? It's like, I could have done this in Codex, but I never would have thought to. And the reason that I thought to do it in my assistant is because I think of it as an assistant, right? So that seems like something that an assistant can do, right? And so I'm like, so when they say, this is the epiphany now, are you ready for the epiphany?
I'm ready for the epiphany.
When they say, think outside of the box, what they mean is the labels are the box, right? Because I could have done this with Codex. I could have done this with Claude Code. I could have done this with you know, the Gemini CLI, whatever. But I never would have thought to do it because I was thinking as those are coding tools and that's all they can do is coding tools. And then I'm like, oh, here's this other thing that's an assistant. It can do those kinds of things. But in reality, they're all calling the same, you know, an LLM-backed intelligence.
Well, it's true, until recently, certain of the LLMs couldn't control your computer. So like, for instance, ChatGPT just got the ability to control the computer a couple of weeks ago. the Windows computer.
Yeah.
It was controlling Mac before. So there are some things that these agents can do that the LLMs didn't have tools yet to do, perhaps. But yeah.
It's the same type thing. I mean, Codex could have done it before. It could have written a program to do that. It could have written, I'm doing that right now, right?
Well,
I'm writing its own
program to do things. Yeah, but now it's built in.
But I'm just saying, it could have done it. Just, I never would have thought to ask it before. And that's what I thought. It was like, oh, okay. So when you say think outside the box, yeah. Okay, great. That's, you know, by calling it something else, I'm thinking of it differently. So that's kind of like that's the epiphany, Adam, is the box. The box are the labels. The labels are the box. We're trapping ourselves.
Stop. I'm still to the point where I use it for recipes.
Yeah.
And to generate art for different things I want to print.
Yeah.
And I use it for therapy sometimes. You know, when my therapist is unavailable.
Yeah.
And, you know, stuff like that. And I have used it to write code as well. Like the podcast map site is mostly written by Codex at this point.
Have you ordered food?
No, I'm not ordering food. I'm going to have a microwave pizza.
Oh, you're going to have a microwave pizza.
Yeah.
All right. Final thing here.
The final thing.
Have you followed this Lego heist story?
No. No.
Has it not shown up on your YouTube feed at all? There's no $200,000 Lego theft. I found the $200,000.
Nothing has come up on my YouTube feed. Nothing has come up on my Google news feed.
I am so far down this rabbit hole, Adam. I have watched at least 6 hours of content around.
Somebody stole some Legos.
I've condensed the story down as much as I can. And I'm telling you, even me condensing it this much, it's still worth looking at because it's just so fucking insane. It is so insane. So an elderly man in Oregon, he spent 20 years building what's known as the world's largest sealed Star Wars Lego collection, right? 780 sets.
Sealed Star Wars Lego. So never opened.
Never new in box. Never opened.
So they're not put together. It's just loose floating Legos.
Yep.
In boxes.
780 of them. 1,200 minifigures. All of them in the original packaging. So by 2023, it was worth somewhere between $60,000 and $200,000, depending on the appraisal and where you would sell it and stuff like that. And he was going to use it to fund his grandkids' college. So that was his plan. However, he got cancer and he was in the hospital and bills. And so his oldest son, who is now controlling the bills and whatnot, said, okay, let's sell the Legos because we need to pay these, you know, for dad's chemo and, you know, hospital and stuff like that. So they made a deal with a company called Bricks and Minifigs, and they are a chain, a nationwide chain of Lego that sells reused, you know, that sells used Legos and older Legos and stuff like that. And so there was a franchise that he went with that would do it on consignment. So they would put his stuff there on consignment. The store would keep 35%, and then the store gets 35%, and then Brian would get 65%, and then the Legos are still technically his until they're sold. But that was the deal that he set up. So it was just there on consignment, and the collection was so big that it filled this entire store. So it filled their entire store. However, in November of 2024, Bricks and Minifigs Corporate terminates the franchise owner, kicks her out in the middle of the night, and hands the store and everything in it to two new owners based in Utah. They're both Mormon. And I should point out that Bricks and Minifigs Corporate, the CEO of Bricks and Minifigs, is also Mormon. So this dude that was selling his logos shows up and went, hey, like, I had a bunch of Legos here on consignment. Like, can I get them back? If you're not going to sell them, can I get them back? Cause they're not on the shelves. Like, can I get them back? And they're like, what Legos are you talking about? We don't know what you're talking about. We've never heard of any Lego. That's crazy. We've never heard of any Legos. There's surveillance footage and from Ring cameras and stuff like that that directly contradict that. Like the owners, when they were getting kicked out, was like, but we have stuff on consignment and you must sell it. Right. So, but again, I'm just giving you the highlights here, Adam. So
yeah,
the store eventually says like, oh yeah, we found some. And it was like, you know, like 10 sets or something. It was like a fraction of what was there. And he's like, oh, here you go. So sorry. And you like, go away. Anyway, so Brian, the dude that the son that sold these things, his name is Brian. He reached out to a YouTuber named Reckless Ben. Reckless Ben is a twinkish kind of YouTuber guy that he's known for cult and corporate investigations. He's like trying to make a name for himself, whatever. He does, you know, crazy things. But he makes a video and, it goes viral, but that's the one that kicks off this whole thing of it being viral. So Ben makes this documentary. You can see it on YouTube. In that documentary, he sues the company in a small claims court and they win. He wins, but they just close the store entirely. Instead of paying for anything, they just shut down the entire store. So then Ben files a suit against them personally, the owners. But the court says, no, I'm sorry, you have to actually go to their house and try to resolve things first. You know, there's a mediation requirement here. So you have to try to work it out with them before you can sue them. So he goes to Ben, Reckless Ben flies to Utah, which is where the new owners live, the Mormons, Josh. And this is the one that they're trying to talk to is Josh. So they show up at his house. They don't know if he's there, so they pretend to be delivering a package and, you know, to see who answers the door or whatever. And then, you know, it was a prank package that had like rubber ducks in it or something like that. But anyways, just to see if he was there because they're filming, right? And so they want to make sure he's there before they go up and try to talk to him. Anyway, so Josh Johnson realizes that that's not a real UPS guy. And that's, you know, he felt like this is something hinky or whatever. So he calls the police, right? So he calls the police and like going, hey, there's these weird people that are pretending to be UPS that brought me these crazy ducks and, whatever. So, and now for a while we had one story of what happened, but the video footage from the body cams was posted badly on their site and everything. And so the internet got a hold of it. So like all of the raw body cam footage from this entire evening, this entire series of events is now, you know, like people are going through it online and everything. So you can see in the raw footage, the body cam footage, the cops are like, you know, purposely going and stopping Ben and like trying to, you know, to find out who he is and to run his plays. And they're just trying to basically, no, you can't. And they trespass him from Josh's house and stuff. And the cops and Josh are trying to figure out how to get him arrested and, you know, stuff because what he's doing so far isn't illegal. Anyway, a few days later, Ben gets pulled over again on a fake heroin tip. Right. And they held him for like 3 hours as they went through his car, like tearing it apart, looking for this heroin that doesn't exist.
Ben is the YouTuber.
Yes. Ben is the YouTuber. Right. And then later, while he's still trying to finish his documentary or whatever, later they SWAT him. Right. So a SWAT team comes in like the entire. They had an Airbnb.
Why are the police in cahoots with the Mormons?
Because the police are Mormon too. They're in Utah. This is, they're all Mormons. It's like, this is this crazy thing. Anyway, in the meantime, Bricks and Minifigs has closed the store and they mutually, that's the corporate people, and they parted ways with the Mormon owners, right? Because of all the bad press there. But they turn around and now they're suing Reckless Ben and the family that had the things. They're suing them for $1.3 million. There was a GoFundMe for the guy's cancer stuff that Reckless Ben had helped set up. They seized it. And they they tried to get Reckless Ben's Patreon taken down, to which the head of Patreon said, "Ah, fuck you, no, that's not gonna happen." But it's like they're like trying to sue him out of us. And not only did they steal the money from these Legos, right? But then they're stealing the GoFundMe. It's like this whole thing. Adam, there are so many twists and turns in this. It's insane. Sounds like it. You should check it out. It is, if you just want not the full crazy, but just kind of like the medium crazy, like enough to dip your toes in. CoffeeZilla just put out a video on it. And CoffeeZilla is a investigative reporter guy. So it's very clear. So he said he cuts through a lot of it and just focuses on the theft. So he doesn't go into the whole Mormon thing or anything like that. But it's crazy. Like every legal channel on YouTube has been talking about this and, what the police are doing that's illegal and, how they're literally caught on camera, like doing it. And it's just, it's insane. These people, man, these people. Be nice, man. Don't steal.
Is the guy still alive or did he die of the cancer?
I don't know. I think he's still in the hospital. Oh. The whole, the documentary hit like 2 weeks ago. Everything since then has been happening in real time. Like the lawsuits and everything like those, they just got filed yesterday and stuff. So it's like, this is a very much, as they say, an active situation. It's like, it's crazy.
So you're becoming a true crime enthusiast. Oh my God.
You know what? I was watching.
Except this isn't murder.
I was watching one of the legal channels and they were playing the body cam footage and everything. It was like an episode of Cops. You just can't help but watch it. You're sitting there. It's just raw body cam footage of these cops sitting there like talking to them. And then they walk away. Of course you're walking away with them. So then you get to hear what they say to each other when they're back over at the cop cars. Right. And it's like,
were you a watcher of Cops when that was a thing?
I mean, I saw episodes, but no, it wasn't appointment viewing. But it was like I'm sitting there going, like, "Oh, this is actually pretty interesting. Look at them being so corrupt. It's crazy." Anyway, it's the Lego thing. You should look it up. You can either the original Reckless Ben on his channel, the original, I found the who stole $200,000 worth of Lego, or the any of the follow-ups or whatever. I'm sure you can find about it. Or the CoffeeZilla one is if you want more of a global view of it. Anyway, Adam, I think that's it. I think that's all we're going to do on the show for Tony.
So Tony, you'll know if we have a after show next week, there was no sex party had. On Friday.
Well, I mean, the sex party probably
still
happened. There
might have
been
one on Saturday.
I mean, the sex party will probably still happen.
Well, it wasn't attended.
It wasn't attended.
By Daniel.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe.
So we'll all wait with bated breath.
I'm thinking maybe I could do both. I'm thinking maybe I could get a sex party earlier. And
be like, "Oh, I got to leave a little early tonight. Yeah. We got to cut it a little short."
Yeah, got to leave. Oh, now they're blocking episode 223.
I know, we're getting a lot of them all of a sudden.
Well, that's just two episodes. How's that a lot?
Well, I've never gotten any, and all of a sudden I got like three episodes all at once. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 emails from
them.
Yeah,
but they're all the same. So there's episodes 223.
207.
223 and 213.
223 and 213.
I mean, it's just music. Like, yeah, right here, a song, Against All Odds, Take a Look at Me Now by Phil Collins.
So that means I'm going to have to stop playing songs for birthdays. I didn't know they were doing that.
I mean, we don't have to. We don't have to use Spotify if you want to host, if you want to self-host.
Yeah, then we have to switch. There's all the. Yeah, we can do that, but then we have to switch.
I mean,
Which means anyone who's on the current feed
No, we can redirect it. There's a place on the Spotify thing for us to put in a redirection. So we can safely redirect them to a new feed, and it will.
I'll think about it.
Permanently redirect them. But yeah, I mean, this has been happening for a while. I usually just go in and appeal and basically say it's fair use. They never come back after that.
Well, would you do that?
I will not right at this moment, but I'll do that.
All right.
I feel like I wish there was just a setting that you could say. It's like, look, we make comment, you know, we play clips and comment on them. Like we play clips and you know, in parody and in commentary, both of which are fair use.
The Mormons are after us. That's it.
That's what it is. It's all the shows that we talked about the Mormons. But hey, the after show will never be taken down.
Nope, because it's self-hosted.
Because it's self-hosted. So we're loud, live, and independent here, as opposed to being under the boot of Spotify over there. I mean, that is why we stopped playing Dora. That's why we stopped playing a lot of the things, was because YouTube was flagging us. So anyway, chat room, such a delight.
Always lovely to have your acquaintance.
Lamont Cranston, enjoy your trip. Tim in Alaska, lovely to see you here. Kathy Marshall, always wonderful to see you here. Craig, such a delight to see you. I think you were here first. Anyway, good night, chat room. Good night.